just bless the beat. This is Shauna the Songbird.
And this is Shahari.
And welcome to another episode of Why the Songbird Sings. Hello, Shahari. Welcome back to another recording. How is life and how are things since the last time that we spoke?
It's all good. A lot of things I don't know how to describe it. I think I described it the last time. So you know, adulting is happening. I'm going on a trip to Iowa to visit my dad, and then from there I'm going to a friend's in Tennessee who just had a baby. So that's happening in about 2 weeks. So I'm gonna get ready for that. It's like a 15 and a half hour drive. So it'll be good to get out and that's what's coming up as far as what's happening now. We just got done with a busy weekend, and I'm ready for this vacation that's happening in about 2 weeks. That's it. What's going on with me as far as plans coming up?
Nice, because I know you were stressed dealing with that concert that just passed. So I'm happy that that is over for you, and I'm happy that you have something to look forward to in the next couple of weeks. That's definitely exciting. We all love a good road trip.
Yes, except I know you don't like driving, so you probably
would
not have lasted that 15 and a half hours.
I sure would not. I mean, I will ride with you. I don't mind riding with you.
No,
but as far as having me behind the wheel...
I'm not stopping three times.
Oh yeah, I have a black right
to bathe and to use the bathroom every hour. And like, no,
don't do me like this. Don't do me like that. Okay, your girl has a bladder of an infant, like, and I just had to make sure that I'm presentable, I'm decent for the world. Is that so wrong?
Every 2 hours, yes, that's wrong. Yes.
You know what? I don't have words. I don't know what to say.
That's a first.
Don't do that.
I think that's a first. Yeah.
Don't do that. Anyways, but that's good. I'm not gonna deal with you with your foolishness, but as for me, I've just been enjoying my break. It's been really great not working and not having someone's life as my responsibility. Went to Phoenix, Arizona, and it was beautiful. It was amazing. Those of you that have me on Instagram have seen my post of me hiking in the by the Superstition Mountains in the Flying Dutchman's desert, or whatever you want to call it. I think this was called Dutchman's Desert, Flying Dutchman's Desert. I don't know, something like that. Going to see Lucky Day in concert, which was incredible. Like, when I say a fine chocolate man giving a show, first of all, he was like the cherry on top for me. It was his band. His drummer was clowning. And his keyboardist, it's even like when he came out with the guitar, it was everything. And so like, it was so good. And then when Lucky Day came out there, and then eventually it was hot in the venue, he ripped his shirt off and he started glistening, looking like something out of a comic book. I said, you know what? I can fuss with this. And I was high as hell. So, you know.
It seemed like you were high the everything whole time. Is. I kept seeing that caption.
Yes.
So that was a yes. You were high the whole time.
Yes. The entire time. I have no regrets. I have no regrets whatsoever. But it was fun. Danny enjoyed herself. And yeah, it was a good time. And I came to St. Louis to be with my partner, and he taught me how to play chess yesterday. That was fun. I was high as hell, but I still tried to give him a good fight. And he even tried to teach me how to drive a manual. Mm. How you say it? A manual stick shift transmission. So yeah. That's it. All those words. And so he even was teaching me how to drive that today. And I was like, all right, this is fun.
So you didn't mess up his gears at all, what you're saying?
So the car cut off once. I bet it did. Because apparently, I don't know if you've ever done it, but like, apparently if you like... if you don't have your foot on the clutch when you brake while it's in a gear, then the car will cut off, and I'm kind of like, or as he said, the car will go dead on you. And I'll just be like, I was like, what do you mean? And he did it, he demonstrated it once, and it scared me because it was on a hill, and I was like, oh my god. And so it happened, and I was just like, oh, okay. And so I was like, all right. I told him I will definitely try again. He tried to say I can drive us to the movies because we're supposed to see Jujutsu Kaisen tonight, the movie. So he was like, I can drive. I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not that confident. Yes, I got a little comfortable, but I'm not that comfortable. And then I go to Greece this Friday, and I'll be there for like a week. I think it's like, what, 9 days. So I'm excited for that. And yeah, and that's pretty much my updates as far as what's going on in my life.
Yeah, so you plan on being high the entire time? Yes, you're on break.
I'm getting it all out of my system now because I'm going to have to start looking for a new job soon. And just in case I need to take a drug test, when I go to Greece, when I come back, I'm probably not going to be high anymore. I'm just going to just not do that. So I can prepare to get my next job and carry on with my life.
Okay, so
then if I get my job, then all right, we'll be high.
So you
again.
Didn't really answer the question. Are you planning on being high the whole time?
So am I in Greece?
Yes, because your vacation doesn't end until the end of April, you know? It's like the beginning of April.
Right. But right. So I'm saying I'm going to be high up until Friday, which is when I leave for Greece. And then after that, I'm going to be good until I take my drug test for my next job. And if they say, oh, we don't need a drug test, whoop, good, because I will probably start back taking my edibles again.
Okay, so that was a yes. Jujutsu Kaisen was actually a very good movie. It was good. I was the only one in the movie theater because it was like 8 o'clock at night on a Sunday. But I still enjoyed myself.
Nice. I'm excited. Is it like a continuation of the season one, or is it like?
I don't think you need to know that. I think you'll find out when you go in there.
Okay, if you say so.
I don't like giving spoilers. But it was a good movie.
I mean, okay.
It'll go within. It goes with the anime, yes. But as far as you'll figure out when it goes with the anime.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Or the manga. I can fuss with that. Whatever one you read or watch.
Oh, I am not with the manga, so the manga is not in my mind. I don't know. He might read the manga, but I'm not the manga girl.
To be honest, I'm the same. I don't really read manga, but I watch the animes. I just feel like I don't want to know before I watch the anime, because the anime is based off the manga.
But also the manga gives you more detail.
It's way more detail. I had to chill.
It gives you more detail than the anime. So I feel like it will be better for us to read the mangas, but you know, time.
Oh, yeah, and anime is basically an advertisement for the manga. Yeah, but yeah, it was a good movie.
Okay, well, I'm excited. All right, but that's pretty much it. Yeah, anything else you want to chime in before we go to our next section?
No.
Oh Lord, I hope y'all can hear this heat kicking in. But all right, it's time for reflections. Please, just for a night, I want to embed this moment forever in my memories. I want to remember the moment our bodies created a double helix, twisting and winding into place to give life. I want to feel the consistent internal rhythm, pacing your strokes and fueling my desire. I want to look back and see you fully invested and captivated by the sway on my hips and the arching of my back. I spin to face you and desire to take more control because I feel like you have been too complacent in your role. So it's my turn to demonstrate what my queer body possess. Person after person, I create cum, cultivating these unique memories for myself and for him and for or her or them. My body is tired, but I can't stop because the constant releasing is insatiable. Nevertheless, my night must end, but the cum remains. Remember that when you're hitting the dance floor. Sincerely, Shana the Songbird. your face.
You can't see my whole face.
I know. It's enough. I see enough.
But for clarification, all those times I was hearing a C and M word, was it cum or calm?
Cum. C-U-M.
You're just gross. So I'm assuming you were talking about dancing this whole time.
Yes, I was. Yes.
I don't know how one makes their bodies like a double helix while dancing, but I'm sure you found out a way. I'm assuming this was a good night. I don't see how you kept releasing while on the dance floor, but I'm pretty sure you found out a way. And I'm pretty sure this was a good night for you. I don't know about the people with you, but I hope they are of positive spirit. and there were no demons and slipped into them. So I'm assuming this was back in the day where you weren't as holy as you are now. So thank you for sharing. And I did not get a Maya Angelou vibe from this one. That was not. I did not.
Amen. Because I was weak last time. When you compared it to Maya Angelou, I said, ooh, baby, I'm so weak. Oh, Jesus.
So, we thank you for sharing that blast from the past. And you can let us know what that memory came from. Like, what exactly were you describing? Who were you with? Like, do you know who you were with? Was it the Polynesian who damn near raped you in the car? Was it, I don't know, who? Who was it?
Oh, Jesus. Oh my goodness. With that memory, actually, it was a mixture of memories. I thought about memories of when I was younger and I would dance and whatnot with people. And then also, it kind of like, at the time of writing it, I was with my partner and he did something that kind of made me move away from my childhood memories and more so into my more adult memories, I would say. And even teenage, I guess. And it was like just a mixture of moments and times with people. And yes, I used the word come, but actually I used it as, what is the term? Was it anagram? Yeah, I think that's the term. If not, I'll just edit it. and come stands for cultivating unique memories. Mm. And still so, and that's why after I said something about what I released come or yeah, I create come. And then I said, cultivating these unique memories for myself and for him or her, or them. And like times like when we were in like New Orleans, I would throw out there, since you were there for some of the foolishness, you know, I would go out there and I would dance with John. I would dance with Sally. I would dance with John and Sally and maybe their friend Bob too. And just have a good time. And, or even when we were in Mobile, when we would dance at, what's that place? Blue Radley's. And your girl would be on the dance floor with, you know, I would just be in there cutting up, you know? So, but each situation created a different memory and a unique one. It was, none of them were the same. And I'm sure that I created unique, memories for those people as well. As far as a Polynesian, I don't think I ever danced with him. I
don't think he was capable of dancing. He was right, living like a caveman. In thought. And
so mind. Just to give y'all some context, what we're talking about. One day I was out with my homegirl. She's an older friend of mine that we used to go to the club and, you know, act the fool. And Shahari and I was out with her and We went to Boozer, and then we went to some other places, and it was this like this Samoan, Polynesian, Pacific Islander man, and yeah, I mean, people who know me know that I I don't care about, you know, backgrounds, whatever, you know, I equal opportunity. So he was cute and whatnot, but he was very,
barbaric,
very animalistic, right? All of the above. He was very animalistic, and it was, interesting. So he asked for a ride because he was apparently in town for on contract or whatever, and to ask for a ride home. And I was like, well, I got Shahari here, it's fine.
First of all, I thought you knew this person. I didn't know you were letting a stranger into your car with me and you. And then on top of that, I fell asleep because I was under the influence. And while
asleep, 8 o'clock in the morning.
It was not 8 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't that.
The sun was out.
No, it was not. Then again, I was asleep.
Yes, it was.
I was asleep. Because I was asleep. And apparently while asleep, well, you said he was sucking on your ear or something like that. He kept fondling you while you were driving. And then you were trying to move the car in a way to wake me up.
Yes.
And that didn't happen because I was under the influence.
He was sleeping hard as hell.
Then apparently I woke up randomly and he would stop. So my thing is, I don't know what your dog's going to do against this barbarian in the first place.
I mean, I thought that you would be able to help protect me. Like,
you let a stranger into your car, low key, because you were down.
You know, your girl was down for, was, you know, was down to try a little. You know, I was down to be Moana before Moana even came about.
And then,
you know,
of course, here goes me just minding my business, not even knowing what's going on. Until after this all passed.
Right. And then it was even a weird moment where, like, he was licking and sucking on my ear and stuff. And, like, my earring came off in his mouth. And he literally, like, growled like a dog and had the earring, like, between his teeth. And I'm looking in the rearview mirror like, what? What is
you
this?
Let this man in your car and then had my this? Life in danger too.
And you asleep throughout the whole, like, you asleep throughout, like, him growling, him just, he was like, it was like having a big ass dog in the back seat. Anyways, but nevertheless, I never danced with him. It was a good time. It was a good time to flirt and whatnot, and that's it. That's all that was. Thank you for reminding me about that animal. Yeah. So that's my reflections. I think we're ready for some words of light, because, yeah, thank God I have shifted out of those ways.
Yes. By Our Daily Bread, and it is titled A Good Work. So, like, in despite of all of our past. The God has been working through us to get his work completed in us from the beginning, despite all the things. So this is a good work by Kenneth Peterson. Now we're going to read Psalms 139, 13 through 24. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God, how vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalms 139, 13 through 24. Now going with a good work, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1 and 6. Here's the devotional. As a teenager, Charles Spurgeon wrestled with God. He'd grown up going to church, but what was preached seemed bland and meaningless. What was preached seemed bland and meaningless. It was a struggle for him to believe in God, and Charles, in his own words, rebelled and revolted. One night, a fierce snowstorm forced the 16-year-old Spurgeon to seek shelter in a tiny Methodist church. The pastor's sermon seemed directed at him personally. In that moment, God won the wrestling match, and Charles gave his heart to Jesus. Spurgeon later wrote, "Long before I began with Christ, he began with me." In fact, our life with God doesn't begin with the moment of salvation. The psalmist notes that God created our inmost being, knitting us together in our mother's womb. Psalms 139 and 13. The apostle Paul writes, "Even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace." Galatians 1 and 15. And God doesn't stop working with us when we're saved. He began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Philippians 1 and 6. We're all works in progress in the hands of a loving God. He leads us through our rebellious wrestling and into his warm embrace. But his purpose with us then is only beginning. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Philippians 2 and 13. Rest assured, we're his good work regardless of how old we are or what stage of life we're in. On the reflection, Shauna, how do you see God working in your life at this very moment?
Oh Lord, bless it. Had to cut that out. How I see God working in my life, somewhat actively now in this state of my life. Mm-hmm. He's definitely is showing me how much more I can be, and I am worthy to receive, and that things are possible, and that I am doing all right. I'm doing what needs to be done, and that I am following the plan, evidently, that he has set for me.
Okay, I challenge you to ask him what that plan is so you can have a more concrete answer, because he is a God of order and he knows what he has for you. So literally ask him so that you know, instead of just being out there in the wind wondering. The next question I have, what is he doing with you for his purposes? So I think you don't really have a concrete answer for that right now. So yeah, just ask him what his purpose is for you in prayer. So I'm going to end in prayer. You can take this out with me. Loving God, I'm overwhelmed to think of your loving care for me from the moment of my birth. Thank you. Help me to respond to your ongoing work in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. That was A Good Work by Kenneth Peterson. Now, yesterday I listened to the prophetic word for April. I'm just going to, with Dr. Jolynn Whitaker, so I'm just going to share some things that you should be doing, some things you can possibly prepare for or start doing, because God is telling us to rebuild his church. I rebuild my house, meaning rebuild his house in your house or in your space. So like I said, I think in February or January, I talked about having a prayer chair or a prayer room and just going in there and praying to God, you know, doing that as far as building his house in your house. And as far as you should prophesy chapter 6 in Deuteronomy 6, prophesy it over yourself, your town, your family, and your nation. And you have to actually believe in it. So I know, I think as far as Psalms 91, I talked about prophesying that over yourself. But you said something about we're still in the Pangea. Psalms 91, if you actually believe Psalms 91 and you actually declare it over yourself, you're not living in the Pangea. So the world may be in the Pangea, but God's people are not in the panorama. So if you're actually going to declare this, you have to also believe it. So those are just some things. We're being called to purify ourselves, to build the altar and praise God. Because I'm not good with praising. I'm kind of like a quiet in my thoughts type person. So that was kind of something I have to work on as far as actually openly praising. That's just some things from the prophetic word for April. So purify yourselves, build his house in your house, praise him, and declare Deuteronomy 6, the whole chapter, over yourself. And actually believe it, because God's word, he will perform it. He will go through the motions to actually perform it, but you have to speak it out, and it will manifest through your words. Yes, that's all I have for you. That was Your Words of Light with Shahari. Please go forth and prosper.
Thank you. I love that. For that. I swear, Your Words of Light have been touching my soul lately.
Thanks. I literally just read this today because I didn't know what I was going to say. So he gave this to me today. So that was nice. It's like a good work. Sometimes you just feel like you don't know what you're doing, and you feel like what you're doing is meaningless, but it never really is.
Mm-hmm. It sure isn't. So,
yeah, but that was what was brought to me. So hopefully your restful month will lead you to greater peace in the next month.
Amen. We gonna speak all those things into our lives and over our lives and try to create those places of worship and help build his house in us and with us. I like it. I love it. Well, Shahari, I mean, to be honest,
I don't really have anything.
Mm-hmm. I really don't. And to be honest, I'm not even mad at her.
That's totally fine. I do have a question that would be like a precursor to, I think I have a question if I come up with it, that would be a precursor to the next episode.
Okay.
If you don't have anything. Do you ever get tired of letting people know that you're black?
Yes. Yes.
But do you still keep doing it though?
Yes, because for a lot of the people, they are unknowing of the ways of blackness. If that makes sense. Does that make sense to you? Did I word that properly?
I think, yes, you did. Yeah.
Okay. And so oftentimes it's just educating on a cultural sense so that people can have better understanding. Luckily, most of those people have empathy, sympathy, and somewhat in some kind of thought process into it. So it's not like I have to like do a lot of work, but there are lots of nuances in being black that other people who are not black don't know of. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it does get it does get tiring, but I mean, as long as I'm okay and in the right mindset, I don't mind.
Okay. So I guess as far as blackness, the ways of blackness, do you think there's just one way to be black?
No. Being black, it's almost like a spectrum in a sense. I wouldn't say a spectrum. I feel like that's not the proper term, but that's the only thing I can think of right now.
Actually, this kind of, I would think of it as a spectrum, yeah. Because ultimately, we're too quick to categorize everybody into color and race.
Right. I mean,
when we're all,
we do that with everything. We don't need to categorize people in lots of things.
It's impossible to categorize people because no one's exactly the same.
Right.
In any race or any look, however they look, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking, why do we feel like we need to explain that we're a person?
I mean, like I said,
How do you view yourself? You view yourself as a black. How do you view yourself? Do you view yourself as a black person or as just a person?
I would say I view myself in the rawest form of the rawest answer for that. I view myself as a person.
Okay. You're on the
instead
step.
Of having a long answer.
Yeah. I think like if you view yourself as a person, you'll be less likely to think like the other people think. If you view yourself as a black person, then you're going to see everybody else as white, Mexican and all this other stuff. But if you view yourself as just a person, you'll be less likely to categorize other people. It's my thinking. Because you'll see everybody as a person instead of as their race.
I get that, but also by being a black person, you can't be ignorant to the effects of blackness or how blackness has made people for centuries feel and how people of color, specifically people in the black diaspora, have been treated over the years. You can be blissfully ignorant, but then it's only going to give you disappointment.
Okay, it's not about being ignorant. It's how you view yourself and other people. If you view yourself as oppressed, then you're going to think you're oppressed, even when you're not being oppressed.
But even if you personally feel like you're not, quote unquote, oppressed, in the larger sense of it, you're still oppressed. You may not be mentally oppressed, because I feel like what you're saying is more so of a mentality. It's more of a mentality and more of a mindset.
You're saying that all black people are oppressed?
Yes.
Everybody. All the black people.
Yes. Systematically, yes.
No one's capable of coming out of it.
Honey, we are capable of coming out of it.
Do you think has anybody come out of it?
No.
Well, that's just sad.
It is. It really is. The world has not allowed us to fully be out of it. And we may feel like it, or some of us may have a little bit more advancement than others, but as a whole, systematically, no, we're still, as a whole, underneath the shackles of the past.
Because you keep stating it with your mouth that you're oppressed from the shackles of the past.
No, because that's how it is.
You're speaking for everybody?
Yes.
Okay, well, you can't speak for everybody because you haven't experienced everybody's life.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm just like, nah. Okay, I feel like this would be a perfect agree to disagree to type situation.
Yeah, because, I mean, whenever you state with your mouth that you're oppressed, I mean... So you're just going to automatically not try to not be oppressed?
I wouldn't say not try. I wouldn't say not live life. I'm not saying not, you know, reach for and achieve all the things that you are promised and that you are worthy for. But at the same time, like I said, systemically, as a whole, black people are not fully free.
Okay, do you have any surveys on this?
Honey, you can turn around and do...
So that's a no?
Your doctorate dissertation on it, and let me know how that goes.
So where are you getting this?
I'm on vacation, so I'm not finna go on a deep
mindset of this. Because the last sip and talk that we had that you said was gonna be a light conversation was not light. So we're not pulling that card right now. I had to sober up to answer your questions.
I don't know why you had to sober up. I was just asking about relationships.
That was not no light conversation.
That was a light conversation about
there
relationships.
Was nothing light about that conversation.
That was lighter than talking about blackness. Like,
It was, this wasn't supposed to be a light conversation.
Well, hot diggity damn. All right. Well, then why you bring up a light conversation and trying to compare it? You can compare apples and oranges.
No. You were... That was not a light conversation. There was nothing light about it.
Yes, it was.
Talking about...
It was about relationships.
Polygamy and non-polygamy and... threesomes, that's not light. Or whether you agree with it or not. Time out a little late. Get out my face. Anyway, that was a nice precursor. That I need you to actually before you speak for the whole, actually do some surveys for the whole. Since you're speaking for the whole.
All right. I'm going to let y'all know now. I'm not doing surveys.
Okay, then don't speak for the whole, damn.
If you want to if you want to give your opinion, this is a wonderful time for me to plug in. You can reach us on Facebook at Why the Songbird Sings, Instagram at Why the Songbird Sings, our Gmail account at Why the Songbird Sings Podcast at gmail.com, and add us on TikTok at WTSS, and we will turn around and respond and add your comments, concerns, and beliefs into our discussions on our next recording. Or recordings, depends on what we get and how we get it. So carry on.
Carry on to what?
Oh, I thought you was gonna like continue something.
No. No. Yeah. Because apparently we want to be oppressed, so y'all can be oppressed. Y'all can live that life. But yeah, that's all I have. I don't know why you think I'm finna just like know it's 8 o'clock already. Anyway, doctor's appointment tomorrow, 8 o'clock in the morning. At the fast it. From then.
Bless it. I'm so proud of you. But all right. Until next time, everybody. Bye.
Reflection. 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 Reflection.